Thank you very much, Andy. That is the music of Dr. Deborah Stroman, UNC professor, Virginia professor, former coach, former player, sports aficionado, and businesswoman. Deb joins me on the phone, as she does every Friday, to talk some sports. How's it going, Deborah?
Things are going well. Definitely looking forward to the weekend, but it's always good to talk some sports.
Absolutely. It does feel like it is kind of in that slower spot for sports right now. But as we typically see when the NBA news isn't happening in the free agency period, we get a little bit of NFL news on the later side of how things are kind of going, because everybody's starting to get ready for training camp. But the Carolina Panthers adding another quarterback to their room with Baker Mayfield. The Panthers made a trade, got a fifth round pick, and are eating only just a little bit of Mayfield's salary. The Cleveland Browns, of course, looking to move off of Mayfield, who's been their quarterback since they took him with the number one pick, because they just paid a boatload of money for Deshaun Watson, and that soured their relationship. Deb, I've got plenty of thoughts on this because I am a Panthers fan, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this move kind of coming at the time that it does in the offseason. And I'm curious, Deb, do you think that, well, how does this Baker Mayfield trade further kind of reflect how quarterbacks are being used and viewed in the NFL right now?
Well, certainly I've decided to back up from my NFL deep, deep engagement, memorizing facts and figures and everything. I'm just really overall, I'm just tired of the hypocrisy with the league, in particular around racial equity, the racism, and then, of course, the sexism as well. So I'm not that deeply involved anymore. I've given up my NFL package and all of that. But it is such a compelling game. I have so many friends who played. I am a part of the NFL Alumni Association, which helps the guys after their career. But with this draft, with this trade, it just, again, doubles down on my thought that oftentimes all of the money, all of the research that's done to find the best players for your team, that it can oftentimes be viewed as a crapshoot. I mean, Baker is a number one, you know, he was amazing in college, and everybody puts all their money into certain players with the best hopes. And then what, he came out in 2018 and already he's just being traded away. So there are some people who are happy about it. You know, he's going to have to compete with Darnold and I think Matt Corral and PJ Walker, but it's a breath of fresh air for Baker, you know, bringing in Deshaun Watson in Cleveland and basically being told that you're second fiddle now. So I'm glad that he's landed with the Panthers. Certainly we can use more competition in that spot, but it just shows that sometimes, well, I can say probably more often than not, that these guys, everything looks good on paper, but when it's time to get out there and compete, they're just not worth the money that they were initially offered.
Yeah, I think there are so many interesting little layers to this, including the two teams involved in this trade, because in my mind, Deb, there are two ends of the same spectrum of just being absolutely thirsty for a long-term solution at quarterback. For the Carolina Panthers, that's a more recent development. I mean, they've made four or five moves at the quarterback position in the last 28 months, trying to find the right person to plug in there and be competitive under the Panthers' new owner, as they've tried to move on from Cam Newton after his injuries, which is a whole nother situation. And what happened to Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, to me, seemed very similar to what happened with the Panthers and Cam Newton, in terms of Baker got hurt last year, played through injuries to try and will his team to the playoffs, ended up not working out super duper well. And then the team's narrative around him is, oh, well, Baker didn't play super well this last year, ignoring the fact of his injuries and deciding to move on. But the Browns are the complete other end of the thirsty quarterback spectrum, because they've been thirsty for a quarterback for three decades. And they thought they had finally landed on the one when they took Baker Mayfield number one overall. And now here they are, just 3, 4, 5 years later, moving on from him, because they decided they wanted to go court Deshaun Watson, who has his whole awful controversy and awful issues and baggage that come with him to Cleveland. But here the Browns go, too, giving him this gigantic guaranteed contract. So There's so many interesting little details of this, but the fact that it is these two teams, I think, is a really interesting kind of reflection of how to each and every team in the NFL, the quarterback is and probably has always been the most important position on the field.
Yes, absolutely. Now, are you saying that you think Mayfield is much better and that you're thinking that injuries have explained his mediocre career?
Or... I think so. I think it's a little bit of that. Okay. I think it's partially like he had three different head coaches in his first 3 years, or he's had three different head coaches during his tenure at the Browns. And, you know, the Panthers have had tons of offensive line issues within recent years. The Browns similarly too, but both teams have pretty good offensive weapons. I think the Panthers maybe a little more so than the Browns right now, but maybe a little less so than the Browns did when Baker Mayfield was there. So I don't know. To me, it's one of those moves where it's like, I'm not going to judge Baker until he hits the field again, but just looking at his performance in the first few years and how great it was so surprising, as you were pointing out, to how quickly everything turned on him when he went through, what, a season and a half of average to just below average play while also fighting through injuries?
Well, I think you sound like a very optimistic Panther fan, which is good.
Yeah.
We need that. But we won't have to wait long because the Browns and the Panthers are scheduled for a week one matchup.
Yes.
And I also noted that he's going to have to play 70% of the time for the Panthers to give up a fourth round pick instead of a fifth round pick in 2024. So yeah. Let's hope he gets out on the field. I do like Sam Darnold, so I love the fact that they're going to have to compete. And then I'm not of the belief of some coaches who believe that you just have to have one starter and you ride them. I believe at this level of football that you can have two very good quarterbacks and you can win. I think guys are mature enough, they played enough to know that, okay, this guy plays this way, the other guy plays that way, and I'm going to adjust. But there are a lot of people who feel that you just ride one quarterback throughout the season until he really, really falters, and then you make the switch.
Yeah, I've been joking with folks that little do Panthers fans and the nation know we're going to build up that week one matchup, and then Carolina's going to trot out the rookie fourth-round pick quarterback Matt Corral out there as our starter against Cleveland on week one. To your point, though, of kind of weaning yourself off of the NFL and deciding that it's not for you, I mean, I've had several Carolina Panthers fans and friends of mine say that when the Panthers were trying to get into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, despite knowing all of the sexual assault allegations that were against him, that they just decided then and there that this was no longer a team that they could support. And not going to lie, it's affected my feelings toward following the franchise too. I understand that. And kind of along those lines, curious to on your thoughts on some pretty big news for the NFL coming out just yesterday or earlier this week, that we have our first new black woman as a team president in the league. The Las Vegas Raiders announced that Sandra Douglas Morgan is going to be their new team leader. She's a Las Vegas native. She's former chair of Nevada Gaming Control Board. Seems like a pretty big step for the league, despite, of course, the NFL still having all of these issues they need to address when it comes to racism and racial inequality.
Well, there's no doubt it's a big high, especially coming off of, you know, Honorable Judge Brown Jackson with the Supreme Court. And as she stated, as the President Morgan stated, she doesn't enjoy being the first. It's nice, but she wants to make sure she's not the last. And so with that being said, we do have two other women who are presidents. We've got Buffalo and we've got Christy Coleman, Carolina. So, but she is the third female president. And in terms of being black, that's major. And especially for a franchise that in recent years has been busted, so to speak, for challenges around racism. Going back to John Gruden, the former head coach, when they did that investigation with the Washington football team and found those emails that Gruden had sent that were racist, misogynistic, homophobic. And then, of course, when we think about the leadership of the franchise, their past two presidents, one resigned and one was fired for various, primarily just poor management in terms of sexism. and mistreating people. But I'm happy because the Raiders had the first black head coach in the Super Bowl era with Art Shell. And so if you're going to do bold and innovative things in the NFL, a lot of people always look to the Raiders. And so this is another move. So I'm happy. I definitely look forward to meeting her and looking for success with the Raiders under her leadership.
Yeah, I think it's a great sign, and hopefully it is a great first step, right? I mean, we also it's a pretty big offseason on that front too, because we had Melody Hobson become a part owner of the Denver Broncos, one of the first minority women to be an owner of an NFL franchise after the Walton family acquired that team just a couple months ago. So big news on that front. But it is one of those things too where I get what you mean about the context and the history of the Raiders being kind of a forward-looking franchise, but to have it come at the same time where we have all this hostile work environment stuff floating around, and we do, of course, have racial undertones and issues with some of the investigations that have been happening within the franchise, too. It's one of those things where it's like you want to celebrate the person and you want to celebrate the achievement in history, but you hope that it doesn't just end there, right? You hope it goes farther.
Well, it has to, and certainly, you know, they're under the microscope, rightfully so, because they just constantly, in fact, it reminds me of Wells Fargo, they just can't seem to get it right. And when you think about the makeup of the team, the players, and especially when you look at starters, I mean, it is a sport. Professional football is a black sport, and to see so few people of color and women getting opportunities in the front office, it's got to change. It just has to change. And I love the fact that we do have more players who are active, not retired, but who are active, who are making statements and saying we can be better. We just need an opportunity. Nobody's trying to get any type of favoritism or, you know, hiring people because, hey, you're not qualified. There are qualified women. There are qualified people of color that can do the job. And so it's a matter of being more inclusive and thinking about where the league wants to be, you know, 3 years from now, 10 years from now.
Lots of work to do, not only in the NFL, but of course, across all of sports as well, but still a pretty big milestone. And congratulations again to Sandra Douglas Morgan for being named the team president for the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, Dev, as always, thank you so much for the time. I want to wrap with this news from your Philadelphia 76ers that James Harden is taking a 2-year contract and a pay cut to help the Sixers in free agency for this year. What are your immediate reactions to that?
Well, I am excited about that. I heard that was the idea at the end of the season. He talked about whatever it takes to be in Philadelphia. I'm really happy about PJ Tucker being signed because I thought that was the missing link. They needed someone who was tough. Every championship team, you've got that person that does the sets the great picks, has some pretty hard fouls on the opponent. But they're just a grinder, and P.J. Tucker is that guy. And so I'm hopeful that this will take us to the Eastern Finals and into the, the finals against the West Coast squad. So good news for the Sixers.
Yeah, for those who don't know P.J. Tucker, just imagine a guy who, like, eats thumbtacks for breakfast, and that's the kind of player that the 76ers just picked up. Well, Deb, I hope you enjoy your weekend. Thank you, as always, for stopping by.
Thank you.